Son, you're special. You were born to do great things.
When BioShock came out in 2007, a lot of people in the video game world flipped out. Here was a blockbuster video game that went beyond saving the princess or beating the bad guys. Sure, there was first-person shooting, but it was set into a deep narrative with philosophical themes, set in a darkly imagined underwater Ayn Randian dystopia.
Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow? No, says the man in Washington, it belongs to the poor. No, says the man in the Vatican, it belongs to...
Before BioShock came out, critics were skeptical that anyone would be interested. 4 million sales later, even non-gamers acknowledged that the medium could be art. Ken Levine is BioShock's creative director.
There is a tendency for publishers and developers to underestimate the audience and what they're interested in. They're really no different than, you know, than any other audience. You know, there's plenty of movies that are intended for people who aren't that interested in political philosophy, whatever those themes are, and there's plenty that are.
And he says that status quo was self-perpetuating. A lack of games that appealed to the intellectual set meant the intellectual set didn't find games appealing.
Brother, the only way to Columbia is through rebirth in the sweet waters of baptism. Will you be cleansed, brother?
The latest BioShock sequel, BioShock Infinite, came out last year. It delivers more storytelling-based, philosophically infused action. But like its predecessor, it is also incredibly violent. Now, it's not like BioShock Infinite is unusual for its violence. The E3 gaming convention recently in Los Angeles was lousy with blood and gore. You could not get away from the sound of gunfire. But some critics expected better from BioShock Infinite. One even called the game a case study in unnecessary violence. I presented that critique to Ken Levine.
You know, I think that it's not particularly more violent than BioShock 1. I mean, BioShock 1 was a very, very, very dark game. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation in the game space was changed a little bit. And I think that people used Infinite as a launching point to talk about the changing nature of games and that can you make successful games that don't have violence and things like that. And one of the reasons there's been a lot of violence in video games is because it's relatively easy to simulate, and generally it's been, you know, like action movies, you know, there's an easily perceivable market for it. So I think when people are looking at BioShock as, you know, okay, well, could they have done it without violence? We got that question asked a lot after the game came out. And, you know, it's an interesting question. I like games myself. Like, I've always liked gamey things. So I wasn't terribly interested in making a game that didn't have a game component.
But by games, though, I mean specifically a violent game component, though.
Right. And actually, I think, you know, when you have nonviolent components, it would have been odd. I wouldn't have known how to make a game like, for instance, like Mario, which is, you know, I wouldn't know how to take this kind of story and turn it into a game about jumping on blocks or, you know, a Pac-Man, you know, eating dots. Or even, you know, there are games like The Walking Dead, which don't have... They have some violence, but they're mostly about making decisions.
Right.
Like go, you know, like remember the old choose your own adventure books when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But I think the reaction to the violence is more an expression of people building confidence in the industry's ability to express itself in more diverse fashions. And I think to some degree, you know, that's we were able to do that with BioShock 1. We were able to say, okay, well, games can be more diverse, and then after Infinite. They came back and said, well, can't you do it without the shooting, maybe? It's not saying we were able to contemplate at that stage because the game was done already. But it's certainly an interesting question in retrospect.
There have been other games, aside from BioShock, that have come out, had these really rich narratives, but also always still having this first-person shooter quality to it. Is that like a formal requirement? Is it like, you know, a sonnet needs 14 lines, a game needs shooting?
I don't think it's a formal requirement. I think forms, art forms have all kinds evolved through a series of accidents or a series of requirements that evolve over time. And sometimes the form doesn't realize that something was a sort of an artifact of a certain requirement. Like, for instance, video games traditionally were very, very difficult to play. And the reason they were difficult is that the original games were arcade games where they were trying to eat quarters. So they really wanted the games to be difficult, so you'd keep pumping quarters into it. So when we started making games that weren't didn't require quarters that you buy and you're, you know, when you play, it took me a long time to realize, like, wait a minute, why are our games so difficult? And it was because we just grew up with difficult games because they have that quarter mentality. And I think shooters, to some degree, are the same way. You know, I started games by thinking about what is the gameplay mechanics of this. And a shooter was sort of answers a lot of questions for you. It's sort of, okay, well, the main mechanics is going to be you have this gun, you have weapons, and you have enemies, you have conflict who are coming at you. And as we got more power with the systems and more art, we were able to bring more things into it, like all the narrative that you see in BioShock and all the visuals. Like, so much of the story is told in the world, right? The visuals of the world. You couldn't have that 10, 15 years ago. Then all of a sudden, we're like, wow, people aren't really – I assume people were coming for the shooting when we made the game originally. I think now we have a little more confidence that, especially when you don't have to appeal to 8 or 10 million people, if you can just digitally distribute things like you can now, you can do that because you don't need to spend the money to put it on trucks to get it to a store and deal with retailers and the shippers and all that. So you can really try to really have a one-to-one interaction with a smaller, more dedicated fan base and give them the thing they want. And you couldn't do that 10 years ago when I started, you know, 20 years ago when I started. Same thing you see happen with cable TV. Years ago, you had, you know, there were three networks, and you had to make things that would appeal to, you know, a broad, I won't say the lowest, but the broadest common denominator. And then when you started having cable, when they had, you know, they could make more artisanal products like The Sopranos, like Mad Men and things like that. Because you didn't have to hit those kind of audiences, you were able to do those more kind of experimental things. And I think that's what you're seeing with games now, is we realize we can experiment more, and because we don't have to hit such a broad common denominator.
That's Ken Levine. He's the creative director for the games BioShock and BioShock Infinite. Ken, I'm really excited to see what you come up with next. Thank you.
Thank you very much.